This is the Nordic Football Guys Podcast.
What is up, everybody? This is the Nordic Football Guys. I am joined, as always, with my host, Antti. Antti, why don't you say hello?
Hey, what's up, guys? First, before we get started, we are doing this with Zoom, so I can see head and face. And I got to tell you guys, it's like he's completely different person now.
Yeah,
I mean, clean shaven.
Yeah,
yeah, clean shave out from the caveman look. I mean, if you haven't already, please go and check the NFG Pod Instagram account to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I went from a homeless man to a young professional. I'd say
the sharpest I've ever seen you. If I would have come across you in the street or something, like I told you before, I wouldn't have recognized you. I would just walked right past you.
Yeah, that's true.
So different.
We were saying, I was talking to Antti, and I said he would probably notice my wife before he noticed me.
Yeah, and then I would have thinking that, well, who's that guy Kira is with? So.
I really don't think I've seen you without facial hair, honestly.
Yeah, so for those of you at home, we have not introduced him yet, but we are joined with a close friend of mine, Adam Cunningham. Nice. Adam Cunningham, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to the group?
So I am Adam Cunningham. I am from the Dynasty League. I am actually the winner who got lucky with auto draft.
Yeah. So Adam is, I've been playing fantasy with Adam for, gosh, I don't even know, four years,
maybe a little more.
Yeah, for a very long time. He's been in my money league for a very long time. I think, were you an original member of that money league, the Dirty Dozen?
I was not. I joined and took over for, I forget who, but somebody after like the first year or two, right. I think.
Okay, yeah, so then you've been playing the Dirty Dozen now at least for 5 years is what that sounds like.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Adam is a great fantasy football player, and as you know, Antti and I, we are in a Dynasty League, and Adam is actually the winner of that league. So we thought it would be, with pure luck. I would say, with that, so we thought it would be fitting to have Adam on to talk about the rookies this year. And I think, and Adam's not only a big fan of fantasy football, but also the NCAA.
I do all right.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago, just Antti and I, about the NCAA. And I said, I don't really have a team, but what's your team, Adam?
I would say it's probably NC State. I know a lot of people would hate on me for that, but Diggs probably my second team.
Yeah. Okay.
But usually the two I pull for the most, or at least follow enough to like actually talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. The any team from North Carolina was my response. But Antti actually asked, were there any notable NC State players that were drafted this year?
Only two, I think. I don't know about any undrafted, but we had a defensive end go in the fifth round, and one went in the seventh round. I believe the fifth rounder went to the Titans, and the seventh rounder went to the Redskins.
Okay.
Do not know their names off the top of my head.
No, that's fair enough. At least you could remember that there were some people.
Lucky enough, I actually saw it.
Yeah. But before we get started, Antti, is there anything you want to like talk with Adam about?
Well, not really. You guys went through it quite well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since we have Adam here, we thought that not only are we going to go through the rookies, but we're going to play a little bit of a game about the rookies. So I'll explain the rules. So what we're going to do is I'm going to bring up two players, and then as a group, we will decide how we want to rank them. So we'll rank them 1 to 2, and then we'll move to Adam, and Adam will bring up another rookie, and we will explain how he fits in to that rookie list until we have the first round of Dynasty rookies ranked. I think that sounds pretty interesting. This was actually an idea brought to us by one of our Twitter guys, Zach, who's been on this show before, and we thought it was a really great idea, and we're really excited to get this started. So without further ado, there are two guys that I would like to bring up first. Instead of starting with running backs, because as we know that this is a pretty heavy running back class, we're going to start with Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. So Jerry Jeudy drafted by Denver and CeeDee Lamb drafted by Dallas. What do you think? How would you have those guys, Antti?
Me? Let's go. Let's have Adam go first.
Sure.
He's the guest, and I'm a polite Finnish guy, so.
Fair enough.
That's an interesting one. I feel like they're both ranked very close to me. I'd put Jeudy just ahead of Lamb because he's probably going to be the wide receiver 2 compared to Lamb coming as the wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
But CeeDee Lamb's got the better QB situation, and might make an impact more. I'm still going to say GD 1 for me and Lamb 2.
Yeah,
I think they're both going to have immediate impact.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I actually have Jerry Judy right above CeeDee Lamb as well. And I have Jerry Judy there because I just like what the Denver offense has been doing this offseason. They're doing as much as they can to get their quarterback some weapons. And I think that Jerry Judy is going to come in and have an immediate impact, like you said.
I think they're going to surprise some people.
I completely agree. And you know that CeeDee Lamb's coming over specifically to take over that not to be the RB1 because they just signed Amari Cooper to that huge deal.
Yeah, and then they've got a what's-his-name Gallup right behind there.
Right, exactly. So I think that, of course, he's going to have some fantasy implications, but we don't know what Jerry Judy could do. He could easily come in and step into that RB or wide receiver one role.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. What do you think, Anthi?
I have them in that same order, even though I hate to jump on that Denver hype train. I think it's going on a little bit since it's starting to look like a lot of like Cleveland Browns from last year.
Yeah, kind of.
Same kind of like thing. We never know. I mean, Drew Lock didn't have spectacular last year. Granted, he was away quite a while, but still not so much showings to back this all this hype up, I guess. But still, I think Judy is there. He has a chance to be the wide receiver one,
right,
that I don't see CeeDee Lamb having. So
yeah,
because of that reason, I have Judy first and then CeeDee Lamb second. But they are like neck to neck.
Yeah, I think that was an easy way to start. Yeah, so I guess we're all in agreement. At least at now, we have Jerry Judy at one and CeeDee Lamb at two. I have a feeling that's going to change, though.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, Adam, why don't you bring up our next guy then?
You know, just because I think he's the running back that's going to make the biggest impact, at least rookie year, I'm going to go with Cam Akers, in my opinion, will be the first running back I would bring up.
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting one. Why do you bring him up?
So I follow the ACC the most, and I have a lot of nightmares of NC State playing against this guy and getting destroyed despite them not giving him a lot of help. Mm-hmm. I think he is going to be a monster going into the league. I think he's going to be the first one. There's not really a ton of competition compared to some other teams that, like, Clyde Edwards might be going into a bit of a committee. I think he's the one that can go in first and be like, yeah, we'll give you 15 touches a game easily. I think he's making the biggest impact. So I'd put him between Judy and Lamb, honestly, in my opinion, right now.
Okay, so you would have Judy, Cam Akers, then CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah.
Interesting, because I actually have who are we talking about? Yeah, Cam Akers. I have him just above Jerry Judy. Okay. But I kind of agree with what you're saying. I don't think that he's going to have, like, an impact above some of the running backs, of course, but definitely he was drafted to kind of take over the touches that were vacated with Todd Gurley leaving the Rams.
He's got a nice little place to kind of just step right into, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And there's really nobody on that Rams team that was kind of biting for touches last year at all. So Cam Akers, there's a huge hole wide open for him and someplace for him easy to step into.
Their top running back is Malcolm Brown now, so it shouldn't be like too crazy of a competition for him.
Yeah, not really, especially for where he was drafted and with the draft capital they took him with. I really like him. What do you think, Anthony?
I'm just wondering why Darrell Henderson could win that job, and he was drafted higher than Cam Akers, in my opinion, right?
Last year, correct?
Yeah. So we cannot trust just that. I have Cam Akers below both Judy and Lamb.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so we already have a little bit of
conflict.
Yeah, a little bit of conflict here. I think we should maybe go with Adam's ruling then, because I had him before, he had him in the middle, and you had him after. So we'll put Jerry, Judy, Cam Akers, then CeeDee Lamb. Sound good?
Yeah, works fine.
All right, next one's to you then, Anthi.
So do I pick two or go with one?
Yeah, just go with one.
All right. Then I take another wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of Jalen Reagor?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
To Philadelphia.
Well, before we get started, where do you have him?
I have him below Cam Akers as well.
Okay.
So I have Judy, Lamb, Akers, and Reagor.
Okay.
So, and he's not even my wide receiver 3 at the moment, but I won't say any further where I have him at.
Yeah, I have him below as well.
Yeah. I think he has a chance. I mean, the Eagles have a like place for him for sure. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind the landing spot. If Wentz can stay healthy, it could be a good offense. And they had have some injury troubles. So if he stays healthy, he could have an impact in first year already.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, that there's going to be a spot for him. Personally, I don't see that his spot is going to be that big this year, just because at least as recording now, there are two like monster veteran wide receivers still on that team. And he will definitely be taking over, at least as the roster is now. He will be the wide receiver 3 on that team. So I would, like you said, I would much rather have people like Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb going forward, like for the next season in redrafts, than Jalen Reagor. Of course, those two veterans are both in their 30s now, and they don't have, I'm sure they don't have much longer in them. Like Alshon Jeffrey, for instance, they were trying to trade him at the draft this year, so clearly they're not so high on him. What were you saying, Adam?
I'm saying I'm surprised they didn't actually trade him.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could get him or could really wanted him.
It's not for the price, I'm sure they want it.
Yeah. Yeah, where do you have him, Adam?
I'd probably put him at 4, too. I kind of agree with your saying that he's got Jeffrey and also DeSean Jackson ahead of him, and I feel like he'll come in to replace DeSean Jackson whenever he eventually gets injured or leaves, but I don't think he'll make that instant impact that people are thinking he might.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. And, of course, what was it, DeSean Jackson, he's 33 now, so he doesn't have much longer.
Plus, he tends to be injured at least a couple games per year, so there's always a chance.
Whole season, like last year.
After crazy games and then nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that first game, it was like, oh, man, DeSean Jackson is back, and then the next game, oh, I'm done for the season, boys. So
then you hold him for 6 weeks and hope he comes back. Yeah. Never does.
Yeah, if something can happen, let's not hope, but if something happens to one of those wide receivers, then he instantly takes a bump to me. But at this point, he's the wide receiver 3 and a rookie on a shortened offseason. I agree with you guys that I would put him, at least at this point, below CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. So I will put him in there. So now we have Jerry Jeudy at 1, Cam Akers at 2, CeeDee Lamb at 3, and Jalen Reagor at 4. I'm liking this list so far.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take one that might be a little bit easier to place just because we've gone through a lot of the middle section here, but let's talk about one of the biggest names going into the draft this year. How's that sound?
Cool.
That's like a plan.
Yeah, so this is a guy that makes a big impact, especially on these team.
Have you seen my team name in our main dynasty?
No, I haven't. What is it?
MacManiac.
MacManiac. Okay. Yeah, Adam, you're in that Dynasty League, of course, and
yes,
one of our biggest topics on this show is Marlon Mack.
Okay, okay.
And because Anthi made a big deal for Marlon Mack this year when he took
before the draft.
Before the draft.
I know what pick we're going about, and it hurts me too.
Yeah, so we're talking here about Jonathan Taylor, the running back picked up by Indianapolis in the top of the second round.
That one's so hard to rank.
Is it for you?
At least for immediate impact.
Yeah, and I love that you're saying that because I'm fairly high on Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah, and I really like him, and actually I have like 2 RB1s in my mind this year because I have the 102. And so I've tried not to like make up my mind that I have to have one guy. I'll be okay with either one. And Jonathan Taylor is one of those guys.
Oh, I immediately agree.
Yeah.
He's going to be terrifying later on. If not this first year.
Yeah. So you have Jonathan Taylor. You say that he's not going to be impactful the first year. Why do you say that?
I wouldn't say impactful, but there's no way he won't be in a timeshare for at least part of that year. At least I can't see him getting a full workload at least this first year, unless Mac somehow has an injury again. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The big thing is that O-line is so good. I could see him also being consistently very good every game, even with limited touches. He's hard for me to rank.
Yeah. And
I mean, we have seen that with Lindsay and Freeman.
This
and
is true.
With the San Francisco guys, so you can do well also with the timeshare.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
True.
And one thing to go on that, we had a couple of guests, Dynasty guests last week, who were talking about Jonathan Taylor, and they had mentioned that Marlon Mack is still on the last year of his rookie deal. And so there's a good chance that Indianapolis is going to try to run Mack into the ground.
Oh, for sure.
Get as much out of him as they possibly can. And maybe hold Jonathan Taylor back for a year. So I could definitely see just the fact that Mac is there that it affects him big time.
100% agree.
Yeah, but even on top of all of that, I still have him above everybody that we've ranked. I have him above Jerry Jeudy, Cam Akers, CeeDee Lamb, and Jalen Reagor. What do you have, Antti?
I have him above all those guys as well.
Yeah, and what about you, Adam?
Just because I don't think he'll make an immediate impact, I'm going to put him at 2 for me. But I can agree with him being the number one guy. At least I think the next couple of years after year one, I think he's going to be terrifying.
Okay. Well, since we have two out of the three of us have Jonathan Taylor at 1 and you have Jonathan Taylor at 2, I think that we will put Jonathan Taylor at 1 then.
Yeah, nothing wrong with decking him there.
Yeah, I mean,
at least with what
we have to trust
so
the insights of our last week's guest, Ryan, who's a Wisconsin guy and has seen all the games JD has played. So,
yeah,
so you've got some good info on him then.
Yeah.
And
so, shout out to Ryan. Maybe I am trusting that guy.
Yeah, he seemed to know a lot of what he was talking about, especially when it came to Jonathan Taylor. That guy was. He was way out of our league. There's no reason we should have been talking with that guy because he knows his stuff.
Yeah. Good to have an expert on sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
He's not in our league.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we were talking with him last week and he was saying that he hasn't missed the playoffs in like 10 years.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
That guy eats and breathes fantasy football. Yeah, but now that I've gone, let's pass it down to you, Adam.
Let's see. Who do I want to bring up next? Just for Zach, I'm going to bring up Swift.
That's a tough one for me.
Yeah. I like him. I could just based off Zach's reaction, I know that he loves him. And it seems that all the Lions fans like him.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously got Kerryon there in front of him, but we all know Kerryon is probably not playing a full season healthy.
Yeah, he's allergic to the field.
Yeah. I could definitely see him limiting what Kerryon does and slowly working Swift up and getting him as much workload as possible, but who knows with the Lions.
Yeah, and since we talked so much about Ryan, now I'm going to talk about the other guest we had last week, who has actually dropped my belief in DeAndre Swift quite a lot, just because he has such strong feelings about just Lions running backs in general. And he had a statistic that said the Lions have not had a number one running back in fantasy in over 20 years.
Wow, good Lord.
Yeah. And the fact that he's
was
now
that
coming,
like RB1 or like top caliber running back, or
he was saying someone with consistent, actually it was double digit touchdowns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so the fact that now DeAndre Swift is coming into what looks to be a timeshare with Kerryon there, I have him at the kind of at the lowest point of all my running backs for the first round. I have him right below Cam Akers, but right above Jerry Jeudy. Where do you have? I cut you off, Adam, but where do you have him?
And I agree with that. Yeah, that's a good placement for him, honestly. I hesitate to rank him any higher at this point in time.
Yeah. What about you, Antti? What do you have to say?
I have him in second place of this group that we have been through.
So you have Jonathan Taylor than DeAndre Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So I want to hear your side.
Well, yeah, I don't have any emotional attachments to any teams or anything like that. So I don't really believe those because Detroit doesn't have had a running back one in 20 years or whatever. I find that like nonsense. So,
fair enough.
Well, nothing against Al here. But I have to also believe the experts a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I've been reading pretty much only good stuff about him. And since Kerryan hasn't been playing pretty much not at all and hasn't brought up the talent that he was supposed to be, I think he's going to be playing pretty much the whole season.
So you think DeAndre Swift is going to come in and take the running back one role?
Pretty much, yeah.
Gotcha. So you have him. Yeah, that's a lot of confidence. And
this is based on the studies. this is based on the studies I have been reading because I haven't followed any college football, so I don't have any insights on these guys. So pretty much everything I have here is just studying a bunch of different experts' opinions. And
what you're saying is very valid because, you know, everything is speculation to this point. We have no idea what these teams are thinking. They could definitely come in and DeAndre Swift be their guy and could be the next Barry Sanders. Probably not, but he could be.
Potential.
Yeah. So you would have Jonathan Taylor, then DeAndre Swift. If I was to redo it, I would do Jerry Jeudy, Cam Akers, and then DeAndre Swift. And Adam, how would you have it?
I'd probably have him at 3-2, right where you've got him. I agree with that.
All right. So let's do it like this. Let's do JT, Jerry Jeudy, then DeAndre Swift, right? And then Cam Akers. Sound good to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fair enough. I like it. This is turning out to be much different than the way that I have my rankings, and I love it. All right, let's pass it to you, Antti.
All right, I'm going to take a running back again then.
Yeah, love it.
I'm going to go with the wide receiver. So we have been over Jerry Jeudy and C.D. Lamb and Jalen Reagor, right?
Correct.
Okay, what about Justin Jefferson to Minnesota?
I like that one a lot, actually.
Yeah. Why don't you start us off then, Antti?
Yeah, well, Diggs just got traded to the Bills, and they didn't trade anybody to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells something to me. I have him above Jalen Reagor. So would be in our second last place at this moment.
Yeah, that's exactly where I have him too.
What about Adam?
You know, I'm going to put him just ahead of CD Lamb for me, actually.
I love that. Go on, man. Tell us why.
If I remember correctly, they traded up to pick him and almost immediately selected on him, it feels like the Vikings really love him and think he's going to be their guy. So I'm going to go with that hype, and I hope I don't regret it, but I think he's going to make an immediate impact. Yeah. I think Thielen's going to take a ton of coverage. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be Diggs immediately, but I think he should slot into that role nicely, I hope.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they did take him, what was it, the second round and very high second round, correct?
I think it was right after Reagor was taken because they traded up for the pick after Emily, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay, and I think it definitely shows that they are not confident completely with just Adam Thielen over there, of course. And I think that this is actually a really good – he's in a great situation that he's one of the wide receivers that's coming in, and there is a definite role for him with immediate vacated wide receiver targets, and they're going to be looking for him to fill those. So
yeah, I
really like what you're saying there. Of course, I do have CeeDee Lamb a little bit higher, but the way that you did talk him up and his landing spot, I could definitely – I would feel confident having Justin above CeeDee Lamb. Anything else you want to say about that?
Nothing that I think will help change anybody's mind about him.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm cool with putting Cam Akers, then Justin Jefferson, then CeeDee Lamb, if everybody's in agreement there.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'd put him for me.
Antti?
Well, I have both. I have CeeDee Lamb, Cam Akers, and then Justin Jefferson. But, you know, it's different. It's cool for me.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So it's, yeah, two spots above in my rankings.
Which isn't, so much. I have some people crazy right now.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Then we can go through our ranking and see how different they are in the end.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. Coming up next, I'm going to go with another wide receiver just because this is clearly a wide receiver heavy draft.
Of very heavy.
Yeah, but I'm going to bring up another person that does affect, I think it affects Antti a little bit in Dynasty, because he has I noticed that Antti has a lot of stock at T.Y. Hilton. And here's a guy coming in, Michael Pittman Jr., another wide receiver drafted by Indianapolis. And he looks to be coming in to take maybe some targets away from T.Y. Hilton.
I think it's going to make Pascal useless.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah,
that's the like effect there. I wouldn't be too concerned. I'm not too concerned about T.I. Hilton at this moment.
Yeah, I think that maybe they're looking for Michael Pittman Jr. to be the replacement of T.Y. Hilton once T.Y. Hilton kind of leaves, because T.Y. Hilton at this point is like an older veteran. I think he's in his
31,
early.
Maybe 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 31 as well. And he's got maybe 1 or 2 years. It gives Pittman enough time just to kind of learn the offense. I'm not so sure of his role this year, though. What do you think, Antti?
I have him outside of top 12.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Just barely, though.
Yeah, I have him at 11.
Okay. Yeah.
He's Where do not you in, have him? In it.
13.
Okay. And Adam, what about you?
Yeah. He'd probably be my last on the list right now. I'd maybe put in like 10 at the highest for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the one nice thing he has is, besides Hilton, there's really no other wide receiver of note on that team. I mean, they drafted Paris Campbell last year, but I'm still not sold on him. So he could immediately slot into that wide receiver 2 spot. But, I don't know how that quarterback play is going to shape out. As much as I love Phillip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett, they're not looked as good as they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip Rivers, he's definitely on his last legs. What does bode well for Michael Pittman is the fact that it is a brand new quarterback in town. That might mean that he could develop a rapport better than T.Y. Hilton with the new quarterback, and he could easily surprise a lot of people. That's why I have him in my top 12. I know a lot of people have him out of there, but I just see that there's good opportunity for him.
A lot of opportunity for him right there.
Yeah, so I'll put him at the end of the list, and he might drop out of our top 12, but I'll put him at the end for now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, back to you, Adam.
I'm going to bring up Henry Ruggs, because he got to have an impact on that team this year. I think he got to be in a very good spot with only Tyrell Williams to be ahead of him in competition, and really no other receiving threat too on that team. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the quarterback situation either for that team, but I imagine he can make a pretty good impact. I'd put him ahead of Pittman for sure, but put him higher than like 7 or 8 for me.
I have them actually back to back, so I have Pittman at 11 and Ruggs at 12. But the only reason that I have Ruggs much lower than most people have him, I don't buy into that offense. I think it's a pretty weak offense, and it has been now for many years. And yeah, Derek Carr, he showed a little flashes of being an okay quarterback. What was it, like 5 years ago?
Yeah, that almost MVP season. Yeah.
Yeah. And then ever since then, he's been nothing but a major disappointment. So I don't see him having an immediate impact this year. What about you, Antti?
I have him above Pittman.
Okay.
But that's it at this point from this group that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the Las Vegas offense either. I think Derek Carr doesn't take any chances.
Yeah.
So like those deep balls and magical plays are not there. But people seem to like Henry Ruggs and his talent, so
yeah,
I think there could be a place for him.
Yeah, and I think like the competition that he said that there's real that Adam said that there's really no competition for him to really take.
Yeah, then Hunter Renfro like showed some glimpses of hope in the end of the season.
Yeah,
and Darren Waller, of course, as a tight end, was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much it then.
One thing I have to say about the Vegas offense, I feel like for the past 3 years now, we've all been talking, oh, Derek Carr is not going to be the starting quarterback for that team. And every year, Derek Carr starts every game. I don't know like what they're thinking or why they can't replace him, but I think it's going to be another year of a mediocre Derek Carr, and that's why I am not super high on him. But I hear what you guys are saying, and I am fine with putting Henry Ruggs right above Pittman.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Putting around 7 or 8 probably for me.
Yeah, so he'll be on our 9 right now, right in between Jalen Reagor and Michael Pittman. Okay. So our list right now, since we haven't gone over it for a while, we have Jonathan Taylor at 1, Jerry Jeudy at 2, DeAndre Swift at 3, Cam Akers at 4, Justin Jefferson at 5, CeeDee Lamb at 6, Jalen Reagor at 7, Henry Ruggs at 8, and Michael Pittman at 9. I have a feeling that this is going to shift down, but Antti, it's up to you. Let's see where we go from here.
I'm going to take the hot potato now, so yeah. We don't leave him at the end.
Fair enough.
What do you guys think about the CEH situation?
Yeah.
I have him at 1, just because of that heavy offense.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think most people have him at 1.
Yeah, even though there were just these rumors that Damian Williams will still be the starter, there's been like back and forth conversation about if that's really the case or not. And I think that's only the logical thing for a coach to say, to like lower the expectations of the guy, like not take anything for granted and actually have to compete off the spot.
Yeah.
But still, you have Patrick Mahomes there, and then you have a running back, kind of like Aaron Jones type, who is very good pass catcher as well, who can easily put like double-digit touchdowns. So,
yeah, I hear where you're coming from. And of course, yes, coach speak it's more than rumors, you know, because it's not like we're hearing it from some source. We heard it essentially directly from the coach, which in a way does have a little bit more carry. And of course, like you said, we don't want, I agree. I think that was just to make Clyde Edwards not become complacent. Like nothing is certain what he's saying. Like if he comes in, he's probably not going to start. I don't know how true that is. And I kind of agree. It just made ranking him and JT so much harder, especially at people that are looking to draft now. What do you think, Adam?
So I'm trying to kind of look at it like the LeSean McCoy situation they had last year, how we'd see him play and then next game he wouldn't play at all, and then they'd be talking about it was all because of pass protect. And from what I've heard, it seems CEH struggles a bit in that. So because of that, he might not make the impact a lot of people are hoping, and that's why I think they're talking up Damian Williams like it's going to be a split share. I know there is a lot of hype on him, but that's why I don't think I could put him as my consensus 1, because I think there are going to be a few games where he might struggle and they might bench him to let him cool off or put somebody in.
Yeah,
so I'd put him right behind, I think, Jonathan Taylor for me.
Yeah, that seems to be like at least, and it's been flip-flopping every day. And me as somebody with the 102, it makes it really hard. I'm essentially just going to get 1 or the other, right?
I don't think you'd go wrong with either, to be honest.
But. Yeah. And the only thing that makes me have CEH at 1 is the fact that they use their first pick on him. And it just doesn't go in line that you don't use that. You don't spend the 1 draft capital on a running back unless you intend to use him, right? Like, that's my thinking.
Yeah, he was the first running back off the board.
Yeah, and not only was he the first running back off the board, but he was the only running back taken in the first round.
And he's the running back Patrick Mahomes wanted, I think. So that really makes you want to believe the hype.
Right. So I think just for those reasons, I have to have CEH at 1. Like at this moment,
I can agree with him being the 1 spot. Like I think he can kind of go anywhere between 1 and 3, but I think his consensus like top 3.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there. So I think that maybe for now we will put CEH at 1.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, CEH 1. So now we have CEH at 1 and JT at 2. So everybody moves down 1 spot. Just because we've been talking a lot about running backs now, I'm going to bring up probably the last major running back on this list that we haven't gone through, and somebody that I love like I really, really like, and I wish I had a mid-round pick, but alas, I do not. I have I traded away at my sixth pick yesterday for Derrick Henry. I'm not sure who.
That was a great trade.
Yeah, I think it was a good trade for me as well. I would rather have Derrick Henry than J.K. Dobbins, but
I'm surprised you managed to pull that off. I tried to trade for him so hard.
Yeah, I almost had a trade going that I would literally trade my entire draft. So the 102, the 106, the 111, and like 302, I guess, for Saquon and Derrick Henry, and I almost got it. But
oh, wow.
They wouldn't pull the trigger. Yeah, so I'm happy with the pick that I, with the trade that I got, but it could have been even.
It's still a pretty solid trade.
Yeah, but so yeah, the next guy I want to bring up is J.K. Dobbins, the running back drafted at Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like J.K. Dobbins as a dynasty running back,
mm-hmm.
like a lot as a dynasty running back, and I think that if you're drafting J.K. Dobbins this year to be like a running back 1-2, I think you're going to be disappointed in a redraft league. But I think that he's going to come in over the next like 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and be like one of those phenomenal running backs just purely because of his placement and the fact that Mark Ingram, the starting running back for the Ravens, he's on his way out. He's now in his 30s, and as we all know, running backs are not built to be past their 30s. I think they drafted J.K. Dobbins to be a nice transition after Mark Ingram leaves.
That leaves the question what they're going to do about Justice Hill.
Right.
Who was, again, a high-drafted guy.
Yeah, you've been bringing him up quite a few times now. I think that the fact that they took J.K. Dobbins as high as they did, I think that kind of answers the question.
Yeah.
You know,
Also, like, when Ingram leaves, maybe they are looking for a timeshare type of situation. Or I don't know. Or then they're just, like, going to have to, like, get something out of Justin Hill in trade-wise or something like that.
Yeah, that could be the case. They could be trying to trade him for maybe, like, a mid-round pick. But I think that the fact that they took Dobbins in the second means that Justice Hill is on their way out or not somebody that they can fully trust. That's just the way that I see it right now in Baltimore. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's going to have the immediate impact. Just because, I mean, Mark Ingram's still there. He's sure 30, but you imagine he's got to have at least one or two more years of probably being an impactful player and being the RB1.
Yeah.
But that offense, a lot of running is going on in that offense. So you had both Ingram and, well, we all know Lamar Jackson both broke 1,000 yards. So you imagine there's going to be plenty of work, even if he's not being that running back one. You still think he's going to get, I imagine, at least 100 carries or so just as RB2.
Yeah, and I think that, like, he's the kind of guy that you – if you pick up, of course, you might be a little bit disappointed the first year, but you are going to be so happy that you stashed him for a year in a dynasty.
Oh, 100% agree.
Yeah, that guy – from the draft capital that they spent on a running back when they already had an RB1 means that they saw something in the guy and that they want him – to have an impact later on. I think that they have a plan for him. That's just how I see it personally. So I have...
100% agree.
Yeah. I have J.K. Dobbins right behind Jonathan Taylor. What about you? Where do you have him?
I'd probably put him right around 5 or 6 just because of not having the media impact. I could see him falling a bit on people. Mm-hmm. But I've seen him on a lot of lists around like 3 or 4. So like anywhere in like that 3 to 5 range, I think is a safe bet to put him.
So if you...
I'd say probably 4 would probably where I'll put him at.
Right. So you would rather have the first wide receiver off the board before you went with J.K. Dobbins if you were drafting in that time.
I think I'm very comfortable with the running backs I've got right now. I've got 2 very young guys and then Alvin Kamara, who's also pretty young. So for me, like if I was sitting in that spot, I'd probably go wide receiver first too.
Okay. Yeah. I like your reasoning there. What about you, Antti?
Yeah. I have him below Jerry Jeudy as well.
Yeah.
I'm he's cool. Essentially my running back 4 in my list.
Right. So here's the real question.
Like 5th overall.
If you could have J.K. Dobbins or DeAndre Swift, where would you have him? Like, who would you take?
DeAndre Swift first, and then J.K. Dobbins.
What about you, Adam?
just because I trust the Ravens a little bit more and I think they run the ball a lot more, I'd go Dobbins over Swift, but it's pretty close for me.
All right, so here's my what I'm saying here. I say we kind of go with what Adam says, since again I'm much higher on him than you guys are. Instead of putting him at 3, we'll put him below Jerry Jeudy at 4 and right above DeAndre Swift. Is it that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we have 1 through 11, so we have a 12th guy to talk about. But of course, as we said, I brought up Michael Pittman that everybody's not high on. So why don't you go next, Adam? What do you got for us?
Cool. But I'm actually, as much as I don't like the Jets, I'm going to bring up Mims because I'm seeing him rated around like 11 to 12 for a lot of teams, and there's really nobody there, wide receiver there. Like, I don't know a ton about him, but impact-wise, he's got to be like one of the few guys that can pretty much come in and be a wide receiver one, just from positioning and situation-wise.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. They literally traded away their only wide receiver to the Panthers this year. So it's like him and that's it.
Yeah, essentially. There's no one else.
I would see space.
Yeah. It's other guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from, but it's the Jets, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, also, I could be like, I could 100% agree why people are just overlook him immediately. Because
yeah.
It's Adam Gase and the Jets. And
who knows. So where would you put him then on a 1 through 12? Would you put him at 12?
Yeah, 12. He's the one guy I could think to fill out the list right now.
All right, fair enough. And what about you, Auntie?
Yeah, I have him as 12 as well, over Pittman.
Yeah, I actually have him at 10, right above Pittman. But it's the Jets. And this was like just me when I made like a quick, ranking this morning. And yeah, I kind of agree. I would have to put him there. So I think 12 is a good spot then for him.
Yeah. So above, below Rocks and above Pittman. All right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you have Pittman at 12 and we have Mims.
I have Pittman. I have Pittman. Well, yeah, there's still, I have one guy to bring up.
Sure.
The Denzel Mims I have above, below Rocks and above Pittman.
Yeah, so we haven't gone through it in a while, so let's go through the list again. And if you guys hear anything you don't agree with, we can talk about. So we have CEH at 1, JT at 2, Jerry Jeudy at 3, J.K. Dobbins at 4, DeAndre Swift at 5, Cam Akers at 6, Justin Jefferson at 7, CeeDee Lamb at 8, Jalen Reagor at 9, Henry Ruggs at 10, Denzel Mims at 11, and Michael Pittman Jr. at 12. Does that sound good to everybody?
I would agree with the rankings. I will say I bet we see Cam Akers go a little earlier than we have on the list. I could totally see that going, but I agree with what we're saying.
I have one guy I'd like to bring that I think belongs to the top 12.
I would love to hear it.
We can, it's one running back, so then I would have, I think if we have more, we would have 6 running backs and 6 wide receivers.
Okay.
Keyshawn Vaughn.
Okay.
To Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that's a talk about. Yeah. That's an interesting one. I want to hear what you have to say about him.
Yeah, maybe a bit same than with J.K. Dobbins. So in redrafts, don't wait for like immediate impact, since they still have Ronald Jones there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can easily see that in 1 or 2 years, Ronald Jones is like sidelined or traded, and Keyshawn Vaughn becomes their guy.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting team to be part of now.
Yeah,
interesting. Yes.
So I have him. I have him above Mims as well.
Okay. Yeah, you're high on him. I actually don't even have him in my top 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, purely because I hate the team that he's on, like the landing spot for him. That it's a team that, like, if you remember last year, it was Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, right?
It was a struggle.
And it was impossible. Like, and if you could just draft the team's running back, like just like I want Tampa Bay running back, you would have been so happy. But the thing is, you didn't know who was going to play that, which game, and who was going to pop off and who wasn't. And it was just so frustrating. And was it Bruce Arians, the head coach there? He is the kind of guy that has no loyalty to virtually any of his running backs, like, ever.
No, yeah, I agree. It's a very interesting situation. I definitely agree with him being a possibility on top 12 lists because, I mean, Ronald Jones hasn't been incredibly amazing, so I don't think Barber's he's won that terrible. Spot. Actually, Peyton Barber got traded, I believe, to Washington, I think.
Oh, I might have missed it.
I think so. I know he was traded, but don't quote me on it being Washington, though.
Yeah,
pretty sure he's gone now.
Okay, well.
So there's definitely potential for him.
Yeah, it makes sense then. Oh, man. It's a hard landing spot for me. Yeah, you're right, the Redskins.
Yeah, okay, cool. Perfect.
Yeah, so now we're basically in the same situation of the Ronald Jones, Peyton Barber situation, right?
Yeah, it's just going to be a repeat of last year. But yeah.
But this guy's going to be the Ronald Jones instead. So, yeah, I'm with you. I could put him at 13. I'd be okay with that. If that works for you, Antti.
So you put him below Pittman?
I have him at 16. Let's put him at 13. I think that it's a good place.
I agree at 13.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so
then
Keyshawn,
we have our top 12.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
Keyshawn Vaughn at 12. Like, after Pittman, after 12, this is the point where I'm looking at quarterbacks. Because I think that they're going to have a bigger impact on your team after that at this point. So, like, I would rather have Joe Burrow and Tua before I would have this Pittman, or this Keyshawn...
Keyshawn
Vaughn, I believe.
Vaughn.
There's still like T. Higgins that I would look before any quarterbacks.
Then you've got people like Justin Herbert too that are sitting there positioned.
Yeah. So, yeah, it gets hard, but yeah, that's a fine spot at 13. Adam, is there anybody else that you want to bring up, or are you happy with our top 12?
I feel like we should just mention Joe Burrow because he's got to be the number one QB like prospect, but I really didn't have him in my top 12 either, and I haven't seen him on a lot of top 12 lists.
Yeah, I have him at 13, which is even high for most people. Like most,
that's about where I've seen him. Yeah,
yeah. He at least on Fantasy Pros, they have him at 15, and they have like T. Higgins, and T. Higgins is another guy I'm not so high on just because of the landing spot.
Cincinnati competition ahead of him.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, there's a lot of competition there. So, yeah, at that point, I would rather have Joe Burrow. But, yeah. Okay, so let's go through our top 12 one more time. We have CEH, Jonathan Taylor, Jerry Jeudy, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Cam Akers, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor, Henry Ruggs, Denzel Mims, Michael Pittman. That's our top 12. And then honorable mentions, Joe Burrow and Keyshawn Vaughn.
Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah. So that's our list, and I like it a lot. Is there anybody on this list, Antti, that you had that is just way too high or way too low?
No, I mean, Pittman was the only one who is not in my top 12.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I had Keyshawn there instead of him.
Right.
But other than that, it's pretty safe. I mean, there's only like, I think, maximum two place differences in my list.
I have the one note for me that I have that maybe the biggest change that we have here. I have Cam Akers actually at 3, and on our list we have Cam Akers at 6.
I have Cam Akers at 7 in my list.
Right, I think that's how it kind of came to the way that it is now. But that's the biggest change that we have there. But anyway, I don't have much more on this. What about you?
Talking to me or Adam?
Antti.
All right. No, I'm just very excited. Phone is buzzing. I'm doing trades in my Dynasty League. trying to do. Yeah. I'm very excited the season to start. I mean, to see actually these guys playing and performing.
Yeah.
Gonna be cool. And actually, we have our Dynasty draft tomorrow. So
yeah, another episode to be recorded.
Yeah, we are live recording that, so it's gonna be good. Very excited to see how that one goes. At the moment, I only have two early second rounders,
mm-hmm.
but you never know if I can pull some triggers and get some first rounders also.
All right.
Before tomorrow, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have any first round picks at all, actually. So
no, I only have 2 second rounders.
Yeah, but
they are early. They are early, so yeah. It might be that I have a new QB.
yeah, that's what it sounds like based on our rankings, season. Anyway.
Yeah, you never know what it always, of course, these are just rankings, and even though I have my rankings like this, when I'm drafting in my dynasty league, I have my team needs, and then I have to pull triggers.
Yeah, of course.
So they are not always accurate.
Yeah, of course. I have
For example, I would draft Jonathan Taylor before CEH, even though I have CEH drafted higher than, not ranked higher than.
Why is that? That's something
because,
that.
Because I have Mac.
Right.
that's pretty much the only reason.
Yeah, I hear you. But it might be good to have both of them.
Yeah. So that's why I want to have both.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Well, I have the 102, so you know who to come to.
I tried. Yeah. You didn't budge.
No, well, you're going to have to give up more than that, I guess.
It was close. I think that's the best I can do.
Yeah.
By the way, we can pretty much say that I offered Tyreek Hill in exchange of both of your first rounders, so 102 and 111. And Brandon Cooks for Tyreek Hill.
And my thinking was, I think I would rather have the running back and see what I can do with the 11th. I'm not going to announce that too soon, what I'm going to do. I'll talk about it tomorrow, of course. But
yeah,
I think I would rather have it that way. I think Jonathan Taylor's got a... Well, let's see who falls in my lap. We don't know who is for sure going at 101.
Yeah, 101 can be... Jonathan Taylor, so in our league, you never know.
Yeah. Well, Adam, are you there? Okay. Well, anyway,
it seems to be lost, Adam, but.
Yeah, unfortunately, it'd be nice to sign off with him. But what I can say, Adam, when you listen to the show later, it was great having you on. I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you did a really great job, and we hope that we can have you on again soon because you clearly know a lot, and it was really nice talking to you. Antti, before we go, why don't you tell the people at home where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us from Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at NFGpod. Please leave comments and interact with us. We are also forming a listeners league.
Yes.
So if you have interest to be a participant in a listeners league, please give us some kind of like a shout out in Facebook, for example, or in Twitter. And also we have nordicfootballguys.com that you can find us, our bios, our rankings that are updating. We will write some articles at some point from like in related to anything. And anything else?
Just to say what's going on with the listeners league, we've already started filling spots. So if you want to get in, the best way to do so is to let us know as soon as possible because
we
are filling first come, first serve. So the league has started. We've started filling the league, and we hope that everybody that can get in does get in. So please let us know as soon as you guys just have the idea that you might want to join. And it sounds like we're going to have a nice mix of not only Americans but also some Finnish people as well. So it's going to be
some other Nordic countries, hopefully as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be a nice mix of people, and we're really excited to get that going. So there'll be more information about that to come, and we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you have anything you would like to say, please you can comment to us where Antti said on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at NFG Hayden on Twitter, and you can find Antti at FFN Analyst. So. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope to see you guys next week. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
What up. Moro moro mita poro. That's Finnish and it means what's up reindeer in short.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode or all of our previous episodes. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. That is the most important thing.
Go and listen to us in Spotify, in Apple Pod, and all the other major podcast platforms.
And if you have any questions or you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at NFG Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We hope to see you there.
Moro moro.